Hey, good morning, Mr. Matthew. We're all ready to go.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
All right, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the Ron Kelly Show. Matter of fact, it's the first Ron Kelly Show for November 2nd, 2014. I hope all of you remembered to turn those clocks back because if you didn't, you're going to miss the show. All right, glad to have you all here. We have a lot to get to this morning. Starting off with my special guest will be with us in just a few minutes. So-called conservative goon, what he's been called by the bossy.com website. His name is Michael Massey. It's spelled M-Y-C-H-A-L, Massey. He's a conservative blogger and author of the website, The Daily Rant. I'll be talking to Mr. Massey about that in the article he just published on his website called Affirmative Action and the Lie of Economic Freedom, and we'll be talking about that. And in the other article he wrote, well, it's been alleged that he stated that the black people are better off during slavery days than they are now. We'll address that, and it's been alleged that he wrote that, but he'll be on in just a minute. We'll address that. We'll talk about some other things also. And shout out to my people, my fellow group members at the Facebook group. It's called Real Politics and Race. Shout out to all my people over there. And later on in the program, we'll talk about the midterms coming up just 2 days away. And will there be total gridlock in the final 2 years of the Obama administration? Because, you know, if Republicans already run the House, so if the Democrats don't get any ground in the House, and they have a slim margin in the Senate, so if the Republicans can pull this off, they'll be in control of the House and the Senate. Congress and the Senate. So, you know, that's what's going to happen with the president. He's going to be gridlocked for the next 2 years, and he probably won't be able to get anything done. That's why he's been on radio. And the big appeal has been to black voters. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on, too, about the black vote. And have black folks been bought off, as Jason Riley, a syndicated columnist for the Washington Post, has said that black folks have been bought off on social programs. We'll address that a little bit later on in the program as well. Additionally, you know, the president hasn't been welcome on the Democratic campaign trail, despite all the improvements, marked overall improvement in the nation's economy. The unemployment rate is down, the stock market is double what it was when he took office, consumer confidence is at an all-time high, positive job growth. Every month that he's been president, but his approval rating still hovers around 40%. Still. Around 40%. So we'll talk about that as well and why. And also, of course, you know, we'll take the calls at 347-426-3214. Whatever your issue is, you can call the Ron Kelly Show. You know, we'll address it. You don't necessarily have to stick to what we're talking about right now. Your concerns are important as well. So if you have a concern that's not in our lineup, sure, you can call us. It's 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. You know, the official website of the Ron Kelly Show is www.theronkellyshow.com. You can read my blog and commentary, get some background and history on the show. There's pictures there of me, of course, and some of my former guests. And you can shop in for various items that you may need in the Ron Kelly Show merchandise store. But first, let me get to some news from the week past. You know, and a couple of things that struck me, you know, every year you hear about something like this, and this really, really, really had an effect on me. You know, there were three young girls who were killed while trick-or-treating. There was a black Honda that left the Santa Ana Crossroad with a 13-year-old twin sisters and a friend were hit Friday night. Now, investigators tracked the SUV to the address where it was registered Saturday, but the owner has since moved. This was in Santa Ana, California, Halloween night. Now, at this point, they really don't know where the registered owner is. Now, a witness told the Los Angeles Times that the girls were wearing costumes with black leggings and dark clothing when they were hit. Now, that may have contributed. Who knows? Maybe the person didn't see them. They were hit at a crosswalk near an elementary school about 6:45 p.m. on Friday. Now, two of them were declared dead right there on the spot. Just horrific. And the third died as paramedics prepared to take her to a hospital. Now, Orange County Fire Captain Steve Contialbi, I hope I said that right, said the twin sisters were Lexi and Lexandra Perez, and the third victim was Andrea Gonzalez, the Orange County Sheriff's Department says. Now, in front of the vehicle, the front of the vehicle was heavily damaged. Now, here's the hit. Now, they went to the place where the house, they went to the house where the car was registered and the person had moved. So they're hoping that they can find, I'm hoping they can find these cowards who killed these three girls and ran away. All right, what we'll do, we'll go back to the news in just a minute. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. BlogTalkRadio.com. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Okay, what's going on?
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. Unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive.
Okay.
Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without Big Brothers Big Sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil. And Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping Big Brothers Big Sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at BigBrothersBigSisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more.
Are you ready?
Of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Good Sunday morning. Good Sunday morning. It's November 2nd, 2014. And not only did the month change, but also the time change, because it's only 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. And if you didn't turn your clock back, then you're thinking it's 11 o'clock right now. Anyway, welcome back here to the Ron Kelly Show. We're here every Sunday morning on blogtalkradio.com. It's 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. Tell a friend. We've moved from the 4 o'clock Friday spot that we held for quite some time. And so Sunday mornings, we want to make it more convenient for you. You know, you can't imagine how many emails I got from folks saying, why don't you change the time because I'm at work and I can't listen. So you know what? It's all about you, the listener. So here we are, Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock. Have another cup of coffee and sit down and listen to the Ron Kelly Show right here on blogtalkradio.com. And, you know, I had to take a quick break. I apologize for that. But I was talking about this accident in L.A., Santa Ana, actually. The three young girls were killed. It's such a shame. These cowards. I hope they do find them. As I was going to say, the front of the car was damaged, and the authorities are seeking video footage. The lady did try to follow them, but they got away from her. They ran out of the car. But there are fingerprints and DNA and different evidence inside the car. They did find the vehicle, so hopefully these clowns are in the system somewhere where they can track them down and bring them to justice. Three young girls killed Friday, 6:45 p.m. on Friday night. Now, it did say that they were wearing dark clothing, so that could have been a factor. That could have been a factor that maybe they didn't see them, but they still should have stopped like they should have. We're going to get to our guest in just a moment. His name is Michael Massey, dubbed by Bossy.com as the conservative goon for some reason. We'll get to Mr. Massey in just a second. We'll talk about that. Also, do you remember Bring Our Girls Home? Bring Our Girls Home. Bring Our Girls Back. Even Mrs. Obama even got into that. Bring the girls home. And the leader of the Boko Haram, the terrorist group that kidnapped those girls from the school, you remember. Everybody was hashtag Bring Our Girls Home, Bring Our Girls Back, Bring Our This, Bring That. Guess what? They're not coming back. Because the leader of the Boko Haram has said that the girls have been married off, and converted to Islam. So we're not bringing our girls home, unfortunately. We're sorry to hear that, but the hashtag Bring Our Girls Home is not going to happen. And the Nigerian government had previously said that the Boko Haram had agreed to a 5-year ceasefire and that they would return the girls home, but the Boko Haram, the leader, says no. No, no, no. They're not coming back. They've been married off, and they're living as prisoners, I would imagine, with the terrorist group. So that's the end of that. You know, bring the girls home. Hashtag. And we hashtag a lot of stuff, and nothing comes of it. It's one of the things that happens here in America. All right, everybody, let's get to our guest. His name is Michael Massey. He's an ordained minister, 13 years in the Christian ministry. He's founder and president of the nonprofit In His Name Ministries, former national chairman of the conservative black think tank, Project 21, the National Leadership Network of Black Conservatives, and a former member of its parent think tank, the National Center for Public Policy Research, in his official capacity with the Free Market Public Policy Think Tank. He has spoken at the U.S. Capitol, CPAC, participated in numerous press conferences on Capitol Hill, the National Press Club, and testifies concerning property rights pursuant to the Endangered Species Act before the chairman of the House Committee on Resources. He's also a syndicated op-ed columnist and former host of the Top Radio Talk Show on the Right Talk Radio Network, Straight Talk with Michael Massey. I can go on and on and on and on about the accolades of this gentleman, but we'll cut that short. You can go to the Daily Rant, his website, Daily Rant, www.thedailyrant.com, and you can get all the information you need to get on this gentleman. All right, everybody, welcome to the show, Mr. Michael Massey. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, but the address you gave for my website is incorrect. My website is Michael-Massey.com.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael, M-Y-C-H-A-L. Let me at least get that right. It's not spelled in the traditional way. It's M-Y-C-H-A-L hyphen M-A-S-S-I-E.com. That's correct.
Join the long and storied list of those who have not gotten it right the first time.
Okay, well, all right. Well, I don't feel so bad now, everybody. So, everybody, welcome Mr. Massey to the program. You know, everyone, all my Facebook listeners are listening to the program right now, and some of you, Mr. Massey's alleged, and we're going to get to that right now, Mr. Massey's alleged publication of an article. Now, this was in Bossy.com, and this is where folks who shared this on Facebook got this. Now, people at Bossy.com are alleging that Michael Massey authored a piece that said that we were better off as slaves than we are today under the liberal system. Now, let's speak to that, Mr. Massey. Now, true or not true, first of all?
Well, it's absolutely not true, but I wrote a piece that was titled, and it depends on whether you're looking at it on my website or whether you're reading it in one of the numerous newspapers around the country that I that carried my work. But the title was Affirmative Action and the Lie of Economic Freedom. And some bright person reading this, and I believe it to have been a woman of color, but some bright person saw fit to say, to interpret what I wrote as saying or advocating that blacks were better off as slaves than they are today under the liberal system. And while, if put in that position, I believe there is substantial evidence to defend that, that is not what I said. That is not what I meant. That is not what I intimated. This is just another example of how ignorant these people are and how quick they are to not read for themselves, not take time to read and digest what is clearly before them, but to take a headline and then attack someone on the headline. Now, I should say, this has been nothing but good for me. My readership has spiked yet again in the last couple of days. Circulation is up, and it's based on a lie. And reasonable people that read what I've written understand that for someone to disagree with what I wrote, they are either part and parcel of the problem, or they are ignorant on their face.
Well, I've asked, and everybody, I've read that, and I think I have the article right here in my hand. I read it, and I did highlight some things that I wanted to discuss with you, Mr. Massey. But just for the record, I read it, and I didn't see anything even remotely referring to us as being. Matter of fact, the word slavery is not even in the article at all. So I'm not sure where they got that from. But it everything is about interpretation. And I guess someone who may be for affirmative action, or because that's what happens when somebody is for something that you're against. It gets skewed once the person posts it on their page or posts it on another website or whatever the case may be. But now he didn't say that, but you did say in the article, now this is from Affirmative Action, Everybody and the Lie of Economic Freedom. Now, if you want to join me here with this, you can go on Mr. Massey's website. It's www.michael, spelled N-Y-C-H-A-L, hyphen Massey, M-A-S-S-I-E. .com. Now, when you get there, it's not going to say michaelmassey.com. It's going to say the Daily Rant. So don't, that's the page. It's going to say the Daily Rant. So don't look for it to say michaelmassey.com or Michael Massey Show or whatever it is. All right. Now, in the Affirmative Action and the Lie is in the, one of the articles that's posted there along with a few other things. Now, you did say that, in your opinion, no single element has had a more adverse effect on these two groups of people than the race-based affirmative action program. You're talking about these two groups of people being blacks and whites.
That's correct. Race-based affirmative action for those that are living in Riverdale or something, race-based affirmative action was designed and intended to be a positive form of discrimination. As a matter of fact, it was Richard E. Nixon, President Nixon, a Republican, who pushed and codified, race-based affirmative action. That came from Richard Nixon, and it's viewed, as I said, it's viewed as a positive discrimination. The idea of positive discrimination is that it is okay, it is permissible to discriminate against a certain group, in this case whites, because they re- they discriminated against another group, in this case, blacks. And I argue that there has been no singular effort that has been more destructive, that has had a greater adverse effect on two groups of peoples than race-based affirmative action, because it's about getting even, and it's about retribution. There is no time in principled society that the idea of I'm going to make you pay for a either real or perceived injustice. There's no time that's permissible. Affirmative action, I argue, has not helped blacks. It has reduced them to a level of inferiority. It has reduced them to a level of belief that the only way to get ahead is by some neo-Leninist liberal giving you a hand. Well, how magnanimous of these neo-Leninist liberals to believe that I or you cannot make it rise or fall on our own merit.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that neo-Leninist comment in just a second. But I asked some people in anticipation of the show, I asked a handful of folks what they thought affirmative action was, and most of them said that affirmative action wasn't about dumbing down the system so we can pass tests. It was more about making sure that we weren't held out of these so quote-unquote white institutions because we're non-whites. So which one is it for you? Is it that we?
That's a damnable heterodoxy. Blacks were going to Harvard University at the time. Catholics and Jews were not welcome. And then to that point, admissions offices in the universities that people refer to now as the Ivy League, those admissions offices were designed not to keep blacks out, but to screen against Catholics, specifically Catholics, and in some instances Jews, but never blacks. And people forget that it was the white people in Tuskegee that worked shoulder to shoulder with Booker T. Washington to establish his school, the Tuskegee Institute. It was white people that gave money for the establishment and the providing for of this school. This idea that blacks cannot get into a quote-unquote white institution without neo-Leninist liberal help is emblematic of the point that I make. This belief is a tragic belief in inequality based on a perceived refusal of another group to get in, and that is wrong. It is wrong any way you dissect it.
Okay, so in your estimation, it's not about making the tests easier for the individual to get in. It's because everyone thinks it's about the making sure that the person is not racially discriminated against in entering these institutions, but the tests and the requirements to get into these institutions have not changed. This is what, you know, so in your estimation, it's not about making sure that people are not racially discriminated against, more so than dumbing down the tests so black folks can get through. Because that's not what most people think.
But first of all, it's not my estimation that we're speaking of. I'm speaking of facts. I have a copy of the Civil Rights Act, the original copy of the Civil Rights Act on my desk at home. I have copies of the Great Society when it was signed. I have copies of this affirmative action, the original language from the president's office. I'm not speaking what I think, what I believe, what I discern, or how I interpret. I am speaking factually of what the bill said. And this is where the debate comes in. You have people who have bought the lie. Then you have others who perceive themselves to be enlightened when, in fact, they could not be more unaware. And then you have the most insidious, sinister group of all, and that is those who inculcate the aforementioned with the belief that this is a way to prevent. This is a
all
way
right,
to prevent. Racial discrimination.
Right,
and that's
that
a damnable lie.
All right, hold that thought. Thank you. Hold on a thought. Just 1 second, Mr. Mass. We have a caller. Ron Kelly Show, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing, Ron? It's Lamont.
Hey, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Doing great. Listening to the spirit conversation you're having here with your guest.
Yes, yes. I did post the information on the web, on the Facebook. Mr. Michael Massey is a conservative blogger and columnist, and we're talking about this affirmative action, and the lie of economic freedom. What are your thoughts on that, Lamont?
Well, I got a question for your guest. Now he's
okay.
Talking about. I heard briefly just a few moments ago when he said that many blacks were instituted into Harvard University and such institutions up in the north, but wasn't affirmative action signed by President John F. Kennedy in 1961 primarily for the South, where those sort of achievements were not available to blacks?
Race-based affirmative action is the plague. It is the curse that Republican President Richard E. Nixon unleashed on America.
But now Lamont is saying
that wasn't answering my question, though.
He's saying that Kennedy was the one that initiated it.
1961, President Kennedy signed it to make things more equal for blacks who were specifically in the South who did not have the upward mobility and the same rights due to Jim Crow laws. And whites deeming them separate and so on and so forth, that the blacks had in the North to attend such prestigious universities as Harvard University. So I would argue that it was necessary at that time in that moment.
Well, actually, that's a point that I am not prepared to argue, but I will say this. In all candidness, I am not aware of John Kennedy instituting race-based affirmative action. I know factually that Richard E. Nixon did, and at the time that you're speaking in 1961 and so forth, going back to immediately after slavery, people like Carter Woodson. Who was the founder of Black History Week, went to Harvard. There are others who went to Harvard. I know historically, there is blacks were going to Harvard and other Ivy League schools in greater numbers. And I'm not saying 1,000 here or 50,000 there. I'm saying in greater numbers than Catholics and or Jews. Speaking to what Kennedy may or may not have done, if as you say, that was a defined area that did not have to do with the race-based affirmative action that we are discussing today, but it had to do with the ability of blacks to attend the schools that they were being discriminated against through Jim Crow of being held out. They were being held out. And
Hold on, Lamont. I did look up while you guys were speaking to each other. I did look up affirmative action, and it does say in defense of Lamont Gates, it does say that in 1961, President John F. Kennedy signed Executive Order 10925 ordering the federally funded projects take affirmative action to ensure that applicants are employed and employees are treated.
Which goes to my point.
Because also in 1965, Lyndon B. Johnson signed a similar order in regards to employment, but not in regard to not related to education. It was employment. Right.
But that goes specifically to my point. Those were executive orders. Executive orders expire at the end of 1 year. They were not codifications. What Richard Nixon did codified this law. And okay. therein lies the difference. Now, as I said, in all candidness, I'm not prepared to speak at length about what John Kennedy did pursuant to that, but looking back with my familiarity of the day, of that time, I feel comfortable in saying what I said. If the caller understands, you know, how I'm saying, and again, I'll reiterate, I'm not prepared to debate that he did or he didn't. Obviously, he did. But I am saying that it was not codified. It was an executive order. There is a big difference, and we must also remember that when Johnson initiated the Great Society initiatives, his idea was that he would have blacks in servitude from cradle to the grave. He used a different word, but That was the clear message of what he said.
But it goes back as far as Franklin D. Roosevelt, who banned discrimination in the government and those involved in war-related work. Later, in the military.
Right.
You know, in Franklin Roosevelt, it started there. Later, President Lyndon B. Johnson expanded on Kennedy's order because it was Franklin Roosevelt, it was Kennedy, and then Lyndon Johnson expanded on Kennedy's order to include women. And at that time, he signed the Civil Rights Act into law. So there's three. So you're talking about three different presidents who actually
It's also important to note that while Franklin Roosevelt was instituting a supposed non-bias, non-prejudicial climate in the military for entrance into the military, he was at the same time relegating people to bastions of poverty through the New Deal initiatives, which even Democrats argued with him that to initiate the New Deal, to initiate the programs that he was at the time, was going to relegate poor people to bastions of servitude and poverty, and it would specifically be most damaging to blacks. And that was argued by even Democrats of the day.
Okay, Lamont, you had a point you wanted to make, Lamont?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things he's saying here that I would love to make points to. But going back to the affirmative action, my overall question to you is, do you or do you not feel that at a specific time in history that these things were necessary, given the high climate of racial circumstances that were going on against blacks?
I do not. My argument is
In other words, blacks who couldn't get hired based on their race, they should have just accepted that.
You're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying I oppose affirmative action. I oppose it. I've opposed it since 1968, 1972, when it was presented to me as an offer to go to a college. My grades had already assured me entrance into an Ivy League school. In fact, I was already admitted to. I've opposed it. So I'm on record. But specific to your question, I oppose affirmative action because I believe in the Constitution. If we
if we honor and embrace the Constitution, we do not need this mindset, this insidious mindset that if we do this, this will make things better. What should have been done was to return to the Constitution and make that fiat, not add on these deplorable injustices to the whole that could only end badly. I go back and say, in 1964, at the signing of the Civil Rights Act, 87% of black households were married two-parent households. 40% of blacks owned small businesses. Blacks were graduating from high school and college in exponential numbers. Employment was steady. As soon as civil rights, as soon as Great Society, 50 years after the Civil Rights Act, 49 years after Great Society, 46 years after race-based affirmative action became codified, what we have are a people who are morally and spiritually more adrift than at any time in history.
All right, and we'll get to that because I have that outlined in my page. But now, hold on now. So for you to say, so what you're saying, and we're going to get to a break in just a second, but now, what you're saying, now, Lamont did ask you, was affirmative action ever necessary in the history of America? And you basically said no, and you spoke to the Constitution that at one time said that you and I and Lamont were not even a whole person. So how?
Do you understand, though, Ron? Do you understand that first of all, it wasn't me, you, and Lamont, because we weren't born, so it wasn't you, it wasn't us. But the blacks in the past, blacks in the past, if it were not for that three fifths ruling. We may well be slaves today because the South had the numbers. And that is another glaring example of people not knowing factual history. That was a gift. Because if it had not been for that three-fifths of a person, the South would have carried the day and slavery would have been reinstituted and continued because they had the numbers. And that allowed us to be free.
I strongly disagree with that, but we'll take a break and we'll address that.
Look it up and read it.
I stayed up half the night doing that, sir. We'll be right back.
If you had one, you would know what I'm saying is factual.
Everything is about interpretation, sir.
No. Three-fifths is not interpretation.
It can be raining. You can ask 10 different people. How much rain is falling? Hold on. We'll take a break and we'll come back. Hold on, everybody. We'll take a break. My guest is Michael Massey. He's the conservative blogger and author of the Daily Rant at Michael, MYCHAL-Massey.com. We'll be back in just a moment with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. BlogTalkRadio.com. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org.
and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest-growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, everybody, it's a hot topic this morning. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's November 2nd, 2014. I hope you turned those clocks back. Back, because if you didn't, you're missing this. All right, everybody. My guest this morning is Mr. Michael Massey, conservative blogger, columnist, and author of the website www.mychal-massie.com. The Daily Rant is joining us this morning, and also Lamont Gates is here as well, and we're having quite a discussion here about affirmative action, and do we need it? Don't we need it? I'm astounded, Mr. Massey. I am really astounded by your assertion that we never needed affirmative action. So what you're saying? I said there's never been any racism.
Well, wait a minute. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm very capable of saying what I mean, and I'm in no way recalcitrant to same. So let's not go down that path.
Hold on a second. When you said when Lamont asked you, you said no.
What I am saying is that 2020 is hindsight. The Constitution guaranteed and assured that these injustices would not happen. And I know people argue, well, this was going on or that was going on, or the founders of the Constitution had slaves and so forth and so on. But at the same time, there were signers of the Constitution that were divesting themselves of slaves and looking toward freedom. That is why the Republican Party became the Republican Party, because the Whigs and the Gold Party, they were pro-slavery. They said, no, that is not the route to go. The Constitution, if that document is honored, if that document had been honored, then there was no need. And also, keep in mind that right immediately after slavery, from the time of the Emancipation Proclamation until approximately 1887, 1890, in that ballpark, blacks were elected to congressional offices in great numbers. Now, do you think it was only blacks voting to elect a black person to office? The sheer numbers alone defy that argument.
My point still stands.
Affirmative action is not a help. If you are qualified, I didn't get into an Ivy League college by affirmative action. My cousin did not get into Ivy League college by affirmative action. Neither did my other cousin. We got in because we studied, we worked, and we had the grades, and they accepted us. That's exactly why we got in.
Defeating the entire point of the question when I ask you, what about blacks in the South that were in Jim Crow South who had the skills and the abilities to go to specific schools and work specific jobs and were turned away? You keep bringing
Personally, I like what Eisenhower did. Eisenhower sent the troops in. Let these children in.
Run.
All right, time out, everybody. Give him a chance to finish. Time out. Give Lamont a chance to respond. Go ahead, Lamont.
All right. Now, we sat here and listened to about 5 minutes of your spiel. Now, answer me directly. Are you telling me that...
I do not believe affirmative action. I do. If the Constitution had been honored, I do not believe race-based affirmative action.
But Mr. Massey, he's not asking you that. He's asking
I'm
you.
I'm deferring to the Constitution.
No, I am deferring back to the Constitution.
So I am saying, honor the Constitution.
Yes,
there's no need for affirmative action.
Yes. No. No, yes or no. Did we need it? Have we ever needed it? Or have we never? Have we ever needed it? Or have we never?
No, I've already
yes
answered
no.
that three times. You don't like my answer. I'm saying we do not. We did not need it if the Constitution had been obeyed. Force people to obey the Constitution, to honor the Constitution, not to add on draconian laws that open the door for draconianism ad nauseum to be perpetuated ad infinitum. That's what I'm saying.
But when you look at the
That's exactly what President Kennedy was doing. He was forcing the South to
no,
obey the Constitution.
No, if President Kennedy had been doing that, he wouldn't have signed executive orders. There's a difference.
But there were no African Americans at the table when this Constitution was being formed. When you see the pictures of the folks who were there. There was no black people there forming this Constitution. None, zero.
What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything?
Oh, hold on. Go ahead, Lamont.
I mean, that's a specious argument. Hold on.
Mr. Massey, please, hold on. Lamont, please, go ahead.
You just said in 1890 African Americans were there at the table. And going back to President Kennedy and his affirmative action, that was his version of forcing them to follow the Constitution. He was hated because of that. You know, he was being called a communist. Yeah, he was being called a communist because of it. But what he was forcing these people in the South to do was obey the Constitution, that all men were created equal.
You know, we're not at liberty to create a dialogue that fits our particular argument.
That's what you're
America,
doing.
America has had its spots and blemishes, but the fact still remains, and this I stand on: affirmative action, race-based affirmative action, the Great Society, all of these things have not brought blacks to the level that they perceived and indeed perceived themselves to do. You have blacks dropping out of school in greater numbers, blacks
that
going to college on affirmative
action
dropping
action,
out in greater
that
numbers,
has
abortion,
with
homeless
action,
children,
but that
crime.
Has nothing to do.
How
hold
have
on,
any
hold
of these
on.
Things helped?
But that
and
has,
how,
not,
and
that,
has
but
any of
those
that helped?
For those I'll things were happening back then, and that has nothing to do with affirmative action. That has nothing to do with affirmative action.
A person goes to a school that they're not qualified to go, they're not qualified to get into, taking the seat of a white student that has better grades, that student drops out, and that has nothing to do with affirmative action? I think so.
No, you're talking about the ills of black America for the last 46 to 50 years. That has nothing to do with
affirmative
action.
Here's the problem.
Hold on, let me make a point here. You talked about interpretation. I'm going to read you some interpretations of rape, for example, by Republicans. Here's what Senator Brownback said when asked about abortion. He said, "Rape is terrible. Rape is awful. Is it made any better by killing an innocent child? Does it solve the problem for the woman that's been raped? We need to protect innocent life, period." Meaning that a woman should have a baby even in cases of rape, the baby should still be protected.
I am against abortion on any level, for any reason.
Right. So even if the woman, let's get into this current conservative thing. Now you are a conservative and you defend the conservative brand. So let's get into this for a second. Now, so you also agree with Senator Brownback, Republican Senator Brownback from Kansas. They said at the time, this is in June 2007, at the National Catholic Men's Conference, he was schlepping for votes, and he said that life should be protected no matter what. So a woman who's been brutally raped by somebody who she didn't know, even if she did know the person, she's been
but
raped.
You don't have to embellish
hold
a woman
on.
That's been
it,
raped.
It,
I mean, that's
hold
it. You don't have
hold
to embellish
on.
It. It's not going to make it more heinous or less
this,
heinous.
This, this
the fact
myself.
Of the matter is, I know women. I am also friends with the woman that heads the organization. She herself was a part of the rape, and I can tell you that they not only oppose abortion.
don't want to click you off now. Hold on. We have a caller from the 203 area code. The Ron Kelly Show, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? My name is Osman Shabazz. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Hey, Osman, how are you, man? How are you, brother?
I'm pretty good.
I'm doing well, man. What's your comment?
My comment is that, number one, he keeps using the term race-based affirmative action. Affirmative action itself is to redress some of the inequalities, which is why we're not fighting for or we didn't receive reparations. Number one, he said that African Americans are being allowed to attend colleges with lower grades. That's not true. Affirmative action is to basically mitigate the test scores, the standardized test scores, which is the SAT. So if a person has, let's say, on a math and verbal section, a 1400, an African American has 1350, but he's done community service, he has good grades, he's involved with the community, that doesn't necessarily mean just because a person got a higher score that they're more qualified. So this whole thing about a test score, whether you're qualified or not.
Hold on, Mr. Manager. Give the man his peace. Give the man. Let's respect each other here. Now, we all, you know, I'm crazy.
I haven't said a word.
Let's respect each other. I heard you.
I haven't said a word.
In the background, I heard you. Go ahead, Osman. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Yeah. So studies have been done to basically say that just because of a person's SAT score, which is the crux of the affirmative action thing, that white kids that are scoring higher on the SAT deserve admittance over blacks who have scored less on the SAT. Now, SAT is one part of the whole equation when it comes down to college admission. So for him to ballyhoo about unqualified blacks because of their race, because they got 50 points lower on the score, when it is a holistic process which takes into account everything, community service, the circumstances that you've done in the community, your grades, your extracurricular activities, and your dedication, your teacher recommendations. So everything goes into making a decision about admissions and not just test scores. And affirmative action is basically meaning that just because a person got a few points higher on a test score doesn't mean that they're more qualified than the other person that got a less on the score, because there's so many things you got to take into account.
Well, I got to tell you, Mr. Massey, I am, you know, we respect all people who come on the show. I didn't ask you to come on the show to disrespect you or to denigrate you or anything like that, but I got to tell you, and Lamont will probably agree with me, I am totally blown away. I am astounded by your comment or your not answering the question that Lamont asked you, did we ever need affirmative action at all? Because
I answered the question four times.
This is my show.
But you didn't like my answer.
No, it's not that I didn't like your answer. You didn't give an answer.
I answered
because
four times.
What you're saying is there's never been any racism. Never.
I'm not saying there's never been any racism. I am not saying that there's never been racism.
Did we ever need any type of safeguard, or did we ever need any type of legislation, constitutional amendment, whatever the intervention? Thank you, Lamont. Did we ever need any type of intervention to prevent racism from taking place?
Well, first of all, racism is a matter of the heart,
yes,
but that notwithstanding, May I finish?
No.
The Constitution is the final arbiter. If we obey the Constitution, we need not continue to build on draconian laws.
Black folks who had the dog sticked on them, black folks who were hung and they had picnics in the town.
What does the Constitution say about all men being created equal?
Black folks were
hung. I just said that, and that's what affirmative action was for.
Right. Black folks were hung in the town square. They had picnics and they brought their kids.
Well, you know, you talk about blacks being hung. Let's go back to a bit of history.
First of all, let me say
to the gentleman that spoke to affirmative action, I am not opposed to affirmative action. I am bitterly and unapologetically opposed to race and gender-based affirmative action.
Did we ever need intervention? Have we ever, in the history of the United States of America, have we ever needed some type of intervention to prevent racism from occurring, sir? Yes or no?
To prevent prejudice from occurring, yes. And
no,
we
no.
had the Constitution. We do
no,
not
mean,
need
no, no, no,
other
no,
laws added on to the Constitution.
The Constitution.
Well, he's dancing around the topic. That's what he's doing.
I'm not dancing around anything. I'm simply not answering the way you want me to answer.
No, no. You keep going back to the Constitution, which was not upheld in the South in the 60s under Jim Crow.
Oh, well, gee. Thank you for making my point.
And the Constitution has said we weren't even a person. We're supposed to abide by that?
Have you read the Constitution?
But the Constitution, so should we have abided?
Have you read the Constitution?
Hold on. Have we?
Yes, I have.
Not as an entirety. Lamont has. I have it not in its entirety. But so, I mean, do we? So the Constitution says that blacks were not equal to whites. Is that the Constitution that we were supposed to adhere to back then?
That language isn't in there.
It was.
If you're going to quote it.
No. I'm encapsulizing it because you only have a couple minutes. We've got about 3 minutes left in the show. But the Constitution that you speak of at one time said we were not a whole person in the country.
The Constitution didn't say that. The amendments and so forth to that did. And the necessity of those was to prevent slavery, not to reduce us to slavery.
It said we weren't a person. It said we were not a whole person. It said we were three-fifths of a person, and that was to prevent us from being slaves.
We were property, sir.
I stand corrected. You're exactly right, Lamar.
We were property.
Look, you know what? I'm fourth generation removed from slavery. My family was slaves in Front Royal, Virginia. They were part of the Carter Plantation. I think I know a little bit about slavery. I also look at history, and I'm willing to say here's the fact. Also, you're talking about slavery. What about the blacks that owned slaves? The most profitable slave plantation in America was black owned in Louisiana.
And we agree that that's wrong.
But the idea of slavery is reprehensible. But we honor the Constitution. We don't continue. If a person gets shot, the first thing Congress wants to do is run out and construct a new gun law.
We
have 22,000 gun laws that aren't being enforced.
So black people who were slaves back in the day should have adhered to the Constitution that told them that they were not equal to their slave owners and their slave owners' children. They should have been happy slaves and adhered to the Constitution, while they were having their feet chopped off when they tried to run away.
The Constitution did not say that. The whole Kuka Kinte thing is nothing more than the mindless babblings of those who are unfamiliar with history.
It said you were not equal. That's what it said. It said you were not equal. The evolving of society under the Constitution corrects that. My quick point, Lamont, very quick. We got about 30 seconds left. Very, very quick.
Absolutely. Jim Crow in the South was disobeying the Constitution, and the only way to get them back on track was to pass something like affirmative action, is my point.
Okay. All right. We have to leave it to everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lamont. Thank you, Osman Shabazz. Thank you so much, Michael Massey. www.mychal.com. Masside.com is the Daily Rand. You can go by there and check him out. All right, got 10 seconds left, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We'll see you back here for another edition next week. Until then, talk to you then.
All the best.
We're out of here. Later.